is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a business update on Roseburg Forest Products. Our first opportunity in quite a while to talk to President and CEO Brady Mulberry. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So I guess overall, how have things been going for Roseburg Forest Products in recent months?
Well, I would say, you know, it's gone really been going pretty well for the company for the last couple of years. You know, as we've worked through the COVID pandemic from the onset of it in March of 20 through where we are today, you know, several interesting things happened out of that. Obviously, the team did a phenomenal job figuring out how to operate as safely as we could and protect people through that time and keep our operations running. The beginning of that was pretty spooky, but demand came back pretty fast, both on the repair and remodel and as well as the housing starts. And you've seen kind of the housing starts really boom and the housing markets be pretty strong. You know, of all times to get strong was coming out of the COVID, you know, the COVID shutdowns across the country and so forth. So, you know, we've had a good couple of years, and we've continued to make investments across North America. And we've, we've probably been the most challenged, Kyle, with just trying to, you know, maintain full staffing across the country. That's been fairly challenging through this period, you know, due to the COVID, and then there was, you know, unemployment benefits got extended from the federal level and so forth and so on. But, you know, generally, we've got a great team here at the company, very strong set of people, you know, and it's all about the people, having the right people in the right roles. And I think another little kudo I would give to the team is, you know, we operated through this with some of the lowest safety incident rates we'd ever had in the history of the company. And I think that's to their dedication all the way down to the mill floor and the leadership in those individual operations or in our resource business or what have you. But so a lot of good accomplishments. We look forward to some reasonably good times going forward, even if they're not as robust as we've seen most recently.
You know, it's interesting, and I hadn't thought about this for a while, but when you deal with the front end of the pandemic back in 2020, I'm sure there were a lot of questions about how you operate a plant where you've got lots of people all over the place and a lot of things to think through and work through there to keep things going.
Yes, that was extremely challenging, and I think with the operating teams in the resource business, but in more specifically in the manufacturing sector of the company, really worked with the local leadership, local teams to meet the health and safety requirements first and foremost, you know, to keep people as safe as we possibly can, and then figure out the protocols within the guidelines depending on which state you're in, which they were different for every state. I mean, the state emergency orders were different in Oregon than they were in South Carolina or in Louisiana. I mean, they were different in every state. So we had to operate within those context of those emergency orders. But we let the teams really help us define what's the best way to do this the most safely and most efficiently. And I think that really worked well for us across North America. That was a real win for us to get everybody involved as much as we could and still meet all the requirements we needed to meet.
Now, what about the company being impacted by the current shifts in the economy this year? I mean, certainly a lot of issues economically around the nation and affecting a lot of different industries, inflation, et cetera. How's that impacted you?
Well, inflation, I mean, I think it's real, as we all know, as we go to the gas station or whatever, you know, go to the grocery store. I mean, that's certainly been very real for quite several months now, several quarters, and it continues, you know, maybe it's gaining speed, maybe it's topping out, who knows. But, you know, I think that's made it a lot, you know, that's added to the pressures of maintaining the proper staffing and attracting proper staffing and keeping them in the right roles in the right place. And the other side of that, we're taking steps, and I think this is an important point. We're taking steps to deal with some of those inflationary issues as it relates to wages for all of our people throughout the company across North America, and we're, in fact, we're sitting down with the UBC, which governs, all those operations, and that's the representative union in those operations in Southern Oregon, Douglas County, next week, and we're going to propose some things to help mitigate some of these inflation impacts to our teammates across North America. So we're taking a lot of steps on that. Obviously, that's just part of it. I mean, inflation's hitting everything, whether it's wages, salaries, gas, toiletries. It doesn't matter. Everybody's seeing it. So we're being proactive, trying to be as proactive as we can on that, and still run our business and stay competitive and continue to make the gains that we've been making across the business in just trying to run a better business.
I look at a lot of economic data every day, but one thing I don't look at very often, I'm curious about timber, lumber market. How are things doing there price-wise?
Well, last year we had historically high record prices in the commodities, which would be lumber and structural panels, so plywood, OSB, those types of products. And, we had extremely high prices on our resource business with our own logs, because we have an integrated model, obviously, as everybody knows in Oregon, where we own a lot of timberland and use a lot of that raw material in our facilities. But we had record pricing there. Those numbers, kind of came off last year, but it strengthened again going through the winter this year because housing starts are so high. And I think the other thing, we're running at housing start rates that people haven't seen since prior to the Great Recession of 07, 07, 8, 9, 10, 11, that really, really ugly time for building materials businesses and a lot of businesses. So we're kind of at a more normalized annual housing start rate that we haven't seen in 15 years. And the other thing that's gone on here that's with the COVID impacts of the pandemic, the staffing challenges that we've had, everybody's had those regardless of industry. And with all the demand in this particular industry, wood products, that kept constraints on supply. There was just no way around it. And then typically you have a lot of imported products, particularly on panels, coming in from South America and other parts of the world. Well, because of the logistics impacts, the supply chain challenges that you've heard in the headlines for the last 18 months, that's really impacted the ability for those import products to come into the country. So when you couple all that higher demand than we've seen in 15 years with a lot of supply constraint, you know, it's made for some pretty good markets, but we feel that in the next year or so, things are going to start normalizing more back to, kind of a more cyclical run rate or something like that. We're just kind of more of a normalized operating environment that, we would have seen 5 years ago as an example.
Seeing so many different issues with supply chains, I'm curious for what you guys do because it's so specialized versus products that you would find at the typical store. For your plants, do you run into situations where you have something break down or you need to replace something and there's a big delay there, which then kind of causes a cartwheel of problems for you?
We've had those problems, but I'll tell you where that's really showed up is it's challenges deploying capital. And what I mean by that, let's say we wanted to do a capital project at one of our plants. Like, in fact, we're doing a lot of capital improvements in our plant in Riddle, Oregon, as we speak right now, our plywood plant. As you know, the vendors, a lot of vendors are internationally based. And so because of all of the, the constraints and the shutdown of COVID all the way back to March of 20, the backlogs for equipment orders and equipment production and it coupled with some of the transportation challenges around that coming from different countries, everything is very slow to deploy. And what I mean by that, say we want to do a capital project and it's going to take typically a year to make an improvement, where it may take 2 years or 2.5 years. that's kind of been the mode we've been in. And as we speak, we're in the midst of deploying a lot of capital in Douglas County, with plans to deploy more over the next several years to kind of automate and modernize some of our assets in that region to make us competitive long term. And the bottom line is it just takes longer to get it deployed. It just does. And hopefully by the end of this year, going into next year, we can see that kind of normalizing a little bit. But as an example, on that front, we're trying to build a sawmill in North Carolina. I think that, you know, everybody's heard of that. We have a timber base out there. We're trying to build that sawmill. And that's proving challenging just because of all these issues. So my hope is we see this kind of calm down within another year, but I'm not going to make any bets yet.
Now, you mentioned the North Carolina facility. The company's been diversifying other parts of the U.S. a lot more in recent years. How has that helped your bottom line?
Well, what it's done, Kyle, two things. You know, we're trying to get exposure to markets at things we think we do reasonably well. So, you know, have a bigger market position and be closer to some of those end markets. And you know, our LVL plant we built in South Carolina was very delayed because we started it up when the pandemic started, and it was largely foreign equipment, the major equipment pieces. So we couldn't get any support for the first year. So we kind of lost a year starting that up. So we're about what I would say in our true startup, about a year and a half into that. And it's starting to come to life in a positive way. And it'll be helpful. The sawmill, like I said, will be helpful once we get it going, which we think will be about third quarter of 23. We also own currently about 190,000 acres of timber in North Carolina and Virginia. We've continued to add to our tree farm out there. So our goal is, you know, just to summary, is really diversify the asset base both regionally and product segment, and by product segment, in this product segments, we think we do well. The regionality is a couple of things. Different raw material costs, typically lower in the Gulf and the Southeast, different business regulatory environments, plus you're closer to some of those end markets that you're shipping to from the West Coast, and it kind of balances out the portfolio. That said, we're based in Oregon. The company was built in Oregon. We continue to have a tremendous asset base and a lot of employees in Oregon, and we continue to recapitalize and invest appropriately to make sure we're competitive on both coasts. That's the goal. You know, we want to be competitive on both sides of the continent.
Now, are you looking at adding other facilities near where some of these newer ones are that you've put in recent years, or are you looking at other locations in new places in the U.S.?
I would say both. But for example, our LVL plant and our tree farm North Carolina, Virginia, and where our new dimensional sawmill is going to go in North Carolina. So that's all, you know, within 300 miles of each other for perspective. So things are a little more spread out. It's not all as hubbed as tightly as it is in Southern Oregon and, you know, Oregon in general, Western Oregon in general. But, you know, the history of the company has been very successful as an integrated timber and wood products company. That's what it was built from here in Oregon. Yeah, we've been working hard to create some version of that in the Southeast is what we've been focused on over the last several years. It just takes a lot of time and a heck of a lot of capital, and you just can't do it overnight.
You mentioned the work going on in Riddle. Talk about your Douglas County area facilities, the facilities in this region, and maybe some other things you have planned.
Yeah. I can. So as you probably are aware of, you know, we ended up closing our Dillard particleboard plant. That was a very hard decision. That was obviously it's been there for years, one of the original assets to the company in the region. But it was tired, I'd say, and we didn't see the long-term opportunity for that particular product in that region. But we did, you know, we moved those people, provided them opportunities at other facilities in Douglas County, and we'll see what we, you know, we actually do with that site long term. Who knows what we'll ultimately do with it? That's still in discussion. But as far as the other facilities, what we've tried to do, Kyle, is really take our plywood business, consolidate it into a couple of really nice businesses, and then recapitalize, automate those, and to be as competitive as we can, and incrementally maybe grow market share in the region, but certainly be a lot more cost efficient long term to help us, you know, weather the next 20 years, I guess, you know, 20 to 25 years. So those investments have been started and will continue going on as it relates to this asset set here in Douglas County for the next, you know, I see those investments going on for the next 6 to 8 years, fairly significant investments. But it'll be around automation, and it'll be around efficiencies and making sure we can hold or incrementally increase our market share. And I think to add to that, I would add, you know, an important piece of that, we've also sold out of some of our what we call higher fire risk timberlands in southern Oregon, so, you know, south of Roseburg, down in the Canyonville area, and tried to deploy those proceeds into more strategic, less risky areas on the timber side. And one of the things we did is we bought a bunch of land over near the coast, near our Coquille, Oregon facility. We bought a tree farm over there that's really nice growing land, really nice tree farm. And that will really help us long term to continue that integrated model in Western Oregon. That was a very strategic acquisition for us because it feeds our Dillard complex and it feeds our Coquille plywood facility. And with that, you know, that kind of helps continue to really make that integrated model very robust. So that was another important thing we did last year. So I think it's important that everybody realize, you know, we continue to invest, you know, all over to grow the business. The family's very committed to the business. We've got to obviously deploy capital in a way where we can get a return on investment in the long term. But we're also part of that is continuing to make sure we're very competitive in our home base in the state of Oregon. And we continue to do that.
You mentioned some of the land, you know, moving around in terms of your holdings. What about the impact on company lands with those historic 2020 wildfires?
Yeah, we had some, I think about 20,000 acres impacted, plus or minus through that. Pretty significant, pretty devastating fire. And, you know, on that front, if you go back over the last, so I've been with the company a little over 11 years now, but I'd say over the last 7 to 8 years, I think we've dealt with fires in Western Oregon, probably 5 to 6 significant fires, 5 to 6 out of the last 8 years. And that's one of the reasons, as I was saying earlier, where we foresee it's very high fire risk and we can maybe redeploy, you know, or maybe we'd be better off to operate with another tree farm. We're trying to do some of that, make some of those moves to help bolster our position, have less risk, but also bolster our business model for the long term.
As you look at your company-wide number of employees in the last few years, are you up? Are there less because of some of the technology changes? What do things look like?
I would say they're pretty even. I mean, so we've done some acquisitions, we've made some automation improvements, but if you look at overall total, I'd say it's pretty comparable to where it was a handful of years ago.
And what about, go ahead.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, in that area, is it harder to get employees or are people becoming more interested in forestry-related career fields?
You know, in manufacturing, it's been pretty challenging. You know, it's always been somewhat challenging, I'd say, in the last 10 to 15 years. But in the last, you know, since the pandemic, the onset of the pandemic, I'd say it's become way more challenging. We think that may be improving on the margins a little bit. But we do offer great careers. And as we, you know, as technology changes, as you know, the funny thing is, we're a North American-based company, but we really have to compete internationally. Because even though imports may slow down over time, they're going to continue to come, and they're going to ebb and they're going to flow. So we have to be as competitive as we can be, possibly be here. And, you know, a lot of that with automation, it's just like the auto industry or any industry, forest products is no different. And so we have to make sure we're staying up to date, we're investing appropriately, and so there's some really great opportunities. And I mean, a lot of those opportunities as we move forward are going to be process automation type people, engineering type people, because the systems and equipment are a lot more sophisticated. They take more ongoing programming, maintenance, and some of that. So that's kind of the changing dynamic that's happening out there. On the resource side, on the timber business, I think the other interesting thing is, you know, that's a very sophisticated business in its own right. People may not realize, I mean, we employ geneticists. We have research farms, research tree farms, where we do our own research on genetics, looking for the best, you know, the best tree subspecies as we could find to plant in our tree farms. So we're always, you know, there's always a lot of professional opportunities within those kind of businesses as well.
Got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Talk about some of the other things you want to share with folks, maybe about plans for the company moving forward.
Well, like I think I mentioned earlier, we have spent a lot of energy to continue to make our operations better, more efficient, safer. That's a very, you know, that's the top of the list, is to make them safer. Provide opportunities for people, you know, they can have a good opportunity, a good job, opportunities for advancement, you know, and that's not just in Oregon, that's all over the country. We continue to look for strategic opportunities. We continue to work hard to get more efficient at what we do, and continue to try to grow the company and make bigger impacts across North America. You know, our tagline as to what we do, we say, you know, for us, we make lives better for the ground up. You know, we're farmers to making finished products. And I think Roseburg is extremely well positioned for the future. We've got a great team here, and it continues to get stronger, and we're going to continue to grow the business.
Grady Mulberry, President and CEO of Roseburg Forest Products, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.